innocence personified, and I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away. I am cold like December snow. I have carved out this soul made of stone, and I will drag.
From Studio 511, it's the 266th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Chris.
This is Arnold.
And thank you so much for joining us in 2018. I don't know. I've been using that joke all week.
Yeah. It's all only week. Wednesday.
I know.
Day damn three.
Day three.
Day damn three.
Yeah. But, hey, if you're joining us, thank you so much.
You we wonder why much... I drink.
We very much appreciate it.
What's the drink of choice tonight?
Stella Artois.
Cider. Or something. Yeah, cider. If you're watching this live, thank you so much. Log into your YouTube account, and that way you could chat along with us, ask us questions, talk shit, just say hi, whatever. I'll try to see it here on the old handy-dandy smartphone, and if I get a chance to, I'll try to involve you in the show. If you're not watching this live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/HoustonWrestlingRadio, or on Twitter, @HWrestlingRadio, or just leave a comment right here in the old YouTubes. And don't forget to hit subscribe and turn on notifications. That way you know when we're online and stuff. So that's usually every Wednesday, this time, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, not East or Mountain or anything like that. We're in the Central Time Zone. Houston. Houston.
We're on iTunes still?
Yes. Yes.
Our year-end episode from last year is already up there. It's been up there for a couple of days, so if anybody hasn't gotten there, it's there to get it.
Well, I just downloaded, like, a podcast channel thingy for my phone.
Yeah.
So, like, I can listen to podcasts instead of, like, having to go on YouTube and look at them and shit like that.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
Not being able to fucking function anything outside of YouTube
while
I'm listening to a podcast. I just downloaded the app. I forgot what it's called, but
I
saw it already. That's listen cool. to, like, Wrestling Observer and, like, the Taz Show and whatnot.
Awesome.
And of course. The Mecca.
Houston Wrestling Radio, of course, because, you know, that's what's important. Priorities.
Let's talk some wrestling.
All right. What are we starting off this week with?
How about NXT?
NXT? Okay, cool. Last week, we had a new number one contender. We had a four-way match. I'll just say it. Match of the week pick.
Whoa.
Bada boom. Right off the gate.
Pick?
Yeah.
Shit. All right.
Pick for match of the week already.
Going early.
Well, hi. Not the first time.
No.
Randy, can you confirm that?
What?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the match. I thought Killian and Lars killing each other out over by the announcer's desk, and even before and after, was freaking amazing. I was not expecting Johnny Gargano to win the way he did.
Oh, spoiler alert.
No, I was not expecting Aleister Black to take the pin. Yeah, that was all really good and surprising, unexpected for somebody that hasn't read the spoilers. I know you're Mr. Spoiler McGee, Chris, but
he reads them before they happen.
Yeah, he writes the spoilers. In fact,
I thought it was a good ending because they still protected Black even though he got pinned for the first time.
Yeah,
now that pressure's off. The whole all undefeated shit is all out of the way. I don't have to worry about that. He can lose again, and it's you still Aleister Black.
Yeah,
his aura will remain. Because his first victory, whatever, first time he gets pinned, it was via shenanigans, but nonetheless it counts.
Yeah.
And, that was a pleasant surprise. Like, seeing Johnny win, it's cool because, like, you see, like, he's going to be the underground story. He's going to be the underdog story, I mean.
Yeah.
But the first thing I thought of instantly was, like, okay, Ciampa's coming back. It's cost him the match at the Rumble takeover.
Okay.
I think. I mean, I don't know how his ACO – if his ACL is still intact yet. Just like booking wise, that would be the smart thing to do.
Right. What do you think, Chris?
It's, sometimes easy's best. And the storyline's already built in. Gargano's 0-2 against Almas.
Yeah.
Not to sound derogatory, but it's a great developmental main event for NXT TakeOver.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like it's their own talent with their own storylines rather than people that they just pull from other promotions just to have them there.
At this point, you would call Gargano their own talent?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the most relevant
he's ever been.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. So Almas is the most I think I've graduated past tolerable. I think this is the most entertaining he's been in his run so far. The last two months.
His pairing with Selena has been like really good for him. Mm-hmm. Any pairing with Selena has been really
good. Yeah. My anticipation is already high for this. If this is the main event of TakeOver in Philly, oh, they're gonna love it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, because it reminds me of like Adrian Neville versus Bo Dallas, or in Adrian Neville versus, you know, the old school beginner NXT, like even to help Sami Zayn, Cesaro type stuff. Like, it's like, this is what NXT was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you'll pair that and like the Universal Championship match is going to be, you know, fucking big three, big sweaty guys.
Yeah.
You see, NXT is like not big three sweaty guys. So it's a contrast, which I like.
Okay. Fair. I agree with all that was said.
A lot
said.
Of badass spots. That Killian Dane splash was fucking brutal.
Yeah. All through the announce table.
Yeah. His great. Fucking hair broke his fall.
Tempur-Pedic.
Yeah. Yes. What else from NXT? What else?
You know what didn't get my attention is the women's title match. And that's all because of at this point with the and this is a dead horse that I'm gonna kick one more time because I like kicking dead things.
Yes.
The it's inconsequential because Sonya's already on the main roster and Ember's still on NXT. Yeah. So that what? Sonya's gonna win the belt? Yeah. That's really?
That was stupid.
It's not gonna happen.
I hate when they do that. I instantly like don't even watch the match whenever stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's like, why would you even know? They have a good thing going because after the match, the Kairi Sane thing where she came out and then Baszler came out. That's cool. That sets it up.
And Baszler choked the ever living snot out of fucking Yachty. What's her name?
Lil Yachty. Kairi Sane.
Yeah.
Too bad she couldn't do it in the finals.
Ascension.
What up?
Welcome, sir.
About time.
On the live chat. Yeah. Haven't seen you in a while. But he says, Happy New Year, guys.
Happy Rusev Day.
There you go. That's the right holiday. Fuck this New Year's bullshit. How about Street Profits?
How about Street Profits?
Yeah. Them cutting a promo saying, hey, you know, we kind of showed up in 2017. Everything else going on in 2017. 2018 is going to be our year. Okay. Show me.
That match was highly entertaining.
Yeah, against jobbers.
And they made the jobbers. Like, I love both Nigel and Mauro. Just ripping the guy. He was calling him NWO JBL.
Yeah.
And you could tell Marl was loving that.
Yeah.
Like, fucking Nigel McGinnis was just ripping into that guy that looked like JBL.
Yeah.
And it was cool. But yeah, the match was good. The moveset was good. I like Street Profits, man. Like, I see them and I instantly think, like, yeah, that's cool.
It was a good move for Angelo Dawkins. Because the other guy, he's definitely more entertaining and more charismatic, and he might be okay on his own.
Which one's which? I don't know who these guys are.
Angelo Dawkins is the one that does the thing.
Skinnier guy?
He's the guy with 45 headbands.
This chunkier guy.
Montez Ford is the skinny guy.
Montez Ford, he has like all the
He has the most charisma.
Yeah, he has the most charisma, and I think that's kind of doing Angelo Dawkins a favor almost. Especially since we saw Angelo Dawkins in and out of NXT.
He's had a whole bunch of tag partners and it just didn't work.
Yeah, it just didn't work. But
then he had a solo run. He was finding himself because his solo run is basically what it is now, except it was him by himself.
Oh, okay.
But now he's found somebody to bounce off of each other. And you can tell that
I've never seen him before. But yeah, I really like this tag team. I even towards the end of the year last year with them versus Sabatelli and Moss, I liked that little feud they had. So that could be a come over for 2018.
There you go.
Cool.
When are we pulling the plug on Jason Jordan as Kurt Angle's kid?
Never. I fucking love it. I love this so much.
Now?
Yes.
Is this what it took?
Yeah. Dude, I love what's going on with him, man.
It just took Ambrose breaking his elbow for you to like him.
Yeah,
like
pretty Jason much. Jordan, yeah. Well, no, I think I was slowly like getting okay with it. I think more people were poo-pooing on the fact that he's Kurt Angle's son than I was.
I think everybody in Miami was poo-pooing it.
Yeah, probably. But I'm down, man, because I think there's a lot of people that are saying that, oh, in this day and age, you can't have, you know, this kind of kayfabe, you know, because, of course, we know that he's not. But I mean,
in the reality era.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, man. You still have Bray Wyatt acting weird. You still have fucking woken Matt Hardy. I mean, things can still work.
They don't have to make sense.
Yeah, exactly. This will have to make sense. But,
what does
like,
Dusty
with this...
say about the truth in the story?
Huh?
What does Dusty Rhodes say about the truth in the story?
Never let the truth get in the way of a good story.
There you go.
And I think, man, that he's just nerdy enough to where, yeah, if you suspend disbelief, he can be Kurt Angle's son. And this, he has ability to show off as far as like amateur wrestling style goes.
Good in the
and
ring.
He's good. But if he just stays annoying like how he is now, he's going to piss a lot of people off. And that's what a lot of people are doing. And it's kind of hard in this day and age where everybody wants to cheer the heel to be a true fucking heel where nobody likes you.
Yeah.
And he's actually a true fucking heel where nobody likes it. So, yeah, man, he's doing a great job.
He's being what Angle was, just pesky and annoying kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah, and eventually it's going to become endearing. I'm calling it right now. Eventually it's going to be endearing,
the
and they're going to wind up liking him.
They pushed themselves into the corner with this whole Angle son thing because you know it has to end with him finding out that's not really his kid. Like
I don't even think it's going to have to go there. The sooner that happens, the better.
Because it's obvious in the crowd that's watching it every week, they're booing this whole segment. Mm-hmm. Me at home, Jason Jordan, Kurt Angle's son, I'm booing. Jason Jordan, wannabe third member of the Shield, I'm cheering.
Yeah, that was
they need to transition away from something that we know in the reality era isn't going to work and go to something that in the reality era, people might actually really find him annoying. I think if this keeps up, he's going to start getting X-Pac heat with the whole Kurt Angle thing because we know he's not the son. It's stupid. Like just kill it. It doesn't have to drag it on. The longer you drag it on, the worse it's going to be for everyone involved in the story. But if you transition to, hey, Jason Jordan, he thinks he belongs in the fucking Shield. He's raising Seth Rollins' hand. He's giving Roman Reigns advice. Who the fuck is this fool giving Roman Reigns advice? That's what I want to see. And that's, I think, is the, if they mention less that he's Kurt Angle's kid and start focusing more on him trying to be the third member, dude, they can have a nice little set built-in feud with Ambrose coming back.
They treat him more like, you know, the punk kid who's biting off more than he could chew and just run with that, then okay, I'm still not sour on the whole Kurt Angle son thing, though, but whatever. Robert, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on the live chat. He says this, WrestleMania build-up to Angle versus Jordan?
Maybe. Sorry, man.
Maybe.
After TLC, TLC, I don't want to see Angle wrestle anymore.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah. How about, let's jump ahead a little bit here. Balor Club.
Ah.
I'm glad they fixed it in the UK.
cease and desist.
Cease and desist.
Yes, yes.
That was cool. I watched Raw like a couple hours late and did the thing that I always forget to do and not go through Facebook. So it was spoiled for me.
Mm-hmm.
But not, even when while watching it, I was still, that's cool. As soon as it came out, I was like, yeah, it works.
Yeah.
It works. They work just enough to where, because, you know, Gallows and Anderson are heels, but like they're over because of the nerd and like everything. It's cool. And because they're in the fuck, they were Bullet Club members. They're fucking set. You know, they're good. And Balor is just Balor. You know what I mean? So it works together. They didn't even got to say shit. They just got to go out there and look and just be cool. And that's it. That's what makes Bullet Club cool. You don't try hard. You just be badass. And that's what it feels like they're doing now.
It's kind of like
just that one segment.
The Matt Hardy stuff where it's like they didn't say that, you know, this was a thing, and they just let the crowd just go ahead and go do the deletes and all this and that. And he dropped little hints, and but he wouldn't come out and say, you know, I'm broken or woken until, you know, a couple of months ago. But for almost a whole goddamn year, it was just like subtle stuff just let it fly under the radar. And if they let that happen here with the Bullet Club, hell, even if they call it like the Balor Club or just the club or whatever.
Balor Club will finally make sense because there's more than one person.
One member.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Those are no homers club.
You can have one.
I have one.
Yeah.
My only rebuttal, if you know that there's enough history there, even if you fucked it up a year and a half ago, we can forget. If you do it right, you're not going to build to that. You're not going to have, okay, Balor, find two opponents and have him looking around the locker room throughout the episode of Raw. Remember, this is your first ever Universal Champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now you're just like, he's just there. He's just another guy. He's just putting him with these other guys. And they're buddies. And they're going to do good stuff. Like, really?
I mean, it worked, It worked, though. Yeah, I get where you're coming from, but it worked. Whatever they did, they opted for the easier, lazy way out, but it worked.
Yeah.
So sometimes simplicity is genius.
But well, I don't know if I say genius, well, but it's
so it, misery works.
Yeah. Okay.
How about Roman Reigns versus Samoa Joe for the Intercontinental title?
Match of the week candidate for me.
Okay.
That match was very entertaining.
Yes, it was.
My only kind of bothering is that, damn, that's kind of early for a Reigns clean win over him. Like, streak, it's over. That's done.
Okay.
Where do we go from here with Joe?
Well, I mean, they already had a feud, though.
Yeah. I don't know.
This was kind of the extra payoff. Innings here.
You think them. So?
Yeah, because they had a full feud where they had at least two matches, right?
Pay-per-view, though?
It was on pay-per-view. Wasn't one of them on pay-per-view?
I feel like one of them wasn't.
They were all, I think it was they all wrong.
Oh, okay.
Oh, fuck it.
Well,
yeah. Yeah, that's my only kind of like, damn, I wish I would have saved this for like a, you know, match for the title at the at the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still a good match, and Joe still managed to look badass in defeat.
Yeah.
And that's fine. That's what you want in a heel like Joe.
Mm-hmm.
To lose and still look strong.
Mm-hmm. That promo that he cut beforehand helped a whole lot too.
Ooh, segment of the week.
My
okay. That's already yeah. That's right. that okay. So you said yeah. this last week. Segment of the year is Festival of Friendship.
Yeah,
that has already set the bar up here.
Yeah.
All the other segments this year have to top that. Because Renee's look was like, yeah, that bitch better have my house clean when I get home. Yeah. She didn't you didn't hear her argue that shit. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, Robert says that in reference to Finn, I like how they acknowledge that he never lost the title and still needs a rematch.
Yes,
they
love that.
They acknowledged it on TV. I love that. So.
Yeah,
but they're not going to do anything about it.
Yeah.
They could have. And that's the part that sucks because, Finn's like, I know, I'm the first Universal Champion and I never got paid for the belt, but if that's what I got to do to get the title back. I was like, no, you don't.
Yeah, Angle's like, oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense. I was like,
no, it doesn't.
You could ask for a straight rematch,
Yeah.
But
he's literally,
he's a face.
Really, seriously, raise your hands if you want to see a triple threat between Braun, Kane, and Lesnar over one-on-one Lesnar Finn.
I don't want to see that over that. I'd prefer to watch Balor over Lesnar.
Hell, I'd rather see Strowman versus Brock just straight up again.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that puts the bitter taste in my mouth with all this is Kane. I mean, I like Kane's new entrance music. Way to go there, but. I don't know. Kane shouldn't be
in
the main event right now.
They ruined Kane this week. Him walking up to the store, hey, not looking for a fight here. Just want to talk. Like, okay, you're not the devil's favorite demon.
Like, you're not even a good politician.
That's bad. You're fake news.
You're a monster. You don't do that shit. You don't ask. You just tell them, bitch, you're going to do what I say. Otherwise, I'm going to put you in your place because I've been here 25 years and you don't even shampoo your
beard. He went the opposite way. They had team up against him.
He won't even get 5% of the vote in Tennessee. Bet. That's bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to,
Bless you.
I don't know if
your farts sound very feminine, dude.
That's why I told him bless you.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yeah, man. That if you're going to jump to the final segment, that final segment probably was the first one in a while that I wasn't really right.
I marked out for a split second because then I called it and it happened.
Called what?
When Lesnar got up like Kane and Undertaker.
Okay.
I was like, that's what I want to see.
Okay.
That's what I want to see because it shows, oh, my God, he's vulnerable, but then he's still less.
He's Mega Man. He's stealing everybody's powers. Now he sits up like The Undertaker. Now he's going to start jacking off like Roman at fucking WrestleMania. Late.
Yeah.
Seth, welcome, sir.
Man.
Good to see you again.
Late. Man. Unacceptable. Not next week.
He says, Kane, go back to politics.
Yes.
It's not really going back if this is his first foray in politics.
It was last week when there was a sign in the crowd like,
shouldn't you be doing mayor stuff?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
He hasn't won yet.
He could be a mayor like Adam West, where he's
just, or he could be a fucking flop like Rhino.
Is it Rhino a politician?
Nope.
He tried to be and he didn't get voted in.
I thought he won.
No, he lost.
Oh, lame.
He lost.
Braun killed Heath Slater and Rhino again.
That was fun.
That was very fun.
That was fun.
Dude, I think I counted six. Was it six running power slams? Well, one wasn't really running. It was just picking him up and slamming him down again.
He picked up Rhino like nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Heath also, but
Yeah.
But, dude.
I love the way he's like, hey, you're going to come in here, Catchy's hands too, like it was fucking badass. Like, what the fuck? I love how he's like a monster yet human at the same time. Like,
right?
He's fucking cool. I love Braun, dude. He's like, he's my favorite thing.
He's like the one of my favorite things going on. Right, one of the best big guys I've seen in a long time.
Definitely.
You know,
I can't even think of, honestly, this is gonna be kind of weird saying, I can't think of a better big man. I'm going back.
Okay.
I can't think of, because I've always hated big men. I've always like.
Taker's
too big as in taller, yeah. Big as in
big as in a fucking tree. Like, you know, Taker, I never considered him like, oh, what a
big guy, dude, you stupid.
I'm talking about like,
you need to YouTube some like old classic WCW Vader. You gotta shit your fucking pants with old school Vader.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, fucking helmet. Yeah, that had smoke coming out of it.
Yeah, I'll give you Vader. So, okay,
Vader.
He's my favorite.
That's like 20 years.
He's my favorite since Vader.
He'll be in the Raw 25th anniversary. He'll slip on the way to the ring.
Yeah, you know, probably.
Like the last time.
I mean, don't want to take away any props from what you're basically trying to say, which is he'll beat Braun's Vader. Fucking badass.
Yeah. Braun will beat Vader, in my opinion, when Braun does a fucking moonsault.
Yeah.
Okay.
But see, Vader was big, but he wasn't that tall. He was just fucking...
He'll punch the ear off of your head.
Exactly. But
Seth in the live chat says, Matt Hardy looks like the girl from 101 Dalmatians.
Yes.
What?
The evil? The villain?
Cruella de Vil.
Okay. Yeah. All
right. Gulak did say anybody, right?
He said anybody. Gulak said anybody.
Dustin Rhodes.
Out comes Gold Dust.
I like his hair. I really
He got a nice little haircut. Yeah. Little spikies.
Him and Cody got the blonde going on.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Because he was before, like, for Raw, he had been kind of doing blonde, but whatever, kind of belong at the same time.
Yeah.
He's letting it grow and bleach blonde.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Cody returned imminent?
No.
I'm fucking with
you.
Stay away, Cody.
I thought it was kind of weird. The announcers kind of said it too. It's like, he's not 205. And then I watched 205 live, you know, on Tuesday last night. And, technically I watched it today.
You watched 205 tape.
Yeah, technically I watched it today.
205 on demand.
205, yes. 205 Network. Yeah. But anyway, they made that kind of like a thing. The whole episode, basically, there was, you know, the beginning where he had like a backstage segment with Gulak, and then that led to tag team match with Cedric Alexander and Goldust versus Gulak and Tavari. And yeah, they kind of like addressed it. And I think backstage Cedric Alexander said, dude, you don't wait 205. And he said, I'm just a nip and a tuck away from 205. I'll get there. I'm like, what? Okay. So they're acknowledging that he's not 205, but he's still in it. But he's saying he might just lose some weight just so he could be in it. But he busted out the whole thing. Well, friendship. I'm not gonna turn my back on a friend, because apparently him and
Alexander are friends.
Yeah, they're best friends. So
remember
now.
When Sin Cara was in the cruiserweight division, even though he was like 230 something pounds.
Who?
Sin Cara.
Oh yeah,
he was in that bitch.
Yeah. So I don't know, but I find it kind of interesting. Is this gonna lead to
the disillusion of 205?
There you go. That's what I'm
hoping for. Yeah.
Just have them be cruiserweights on the Raw. That's fine. Like, you don't have to make them have their own show.
Seth says, wait, you watch 205? Why?
205,
he's a glutton for punishment.
I guess I am. Speaking of 205. Well, no, wait. You're going to go somewhere else?
I'm sticking to the subject, actually.
Okay.
They have something going here, and I hope they actually are daring enough to pull it off.
Okay.
I want Enzo Amore defending the Cruiserweight title against Drew Gulak at WrestleMania.
Okay.
Whoa!
The story's there, dude. You've got two more months to build it up that Enzo's, like, treating this kid like shit. And then build up to him actually doing his first move off the top rope. Actually build up to him. Build up to him actually standing up to Enzo. Build up to him actually doing Enzo's entrance better than Enzo. He kind of already is, the way the fat people are laughing about it. You can turn him like a quasi face. He can still have his PowerPoint.
He's over.
He can have his PowerPoint presentation, but instead of pointing out moves or actions that that people shouldn't do, he could have, all right, tonight's PowerPoint presentation. No over the top microphones. No stupid clothing. Oh, hey, by the way, there's another built-in feud with Daivari. No stupid clothing. Or hey, no, you're stuff like that. You can do it, and have build it up to him and freaking Enzo. Because right now, character wise,
That makes
sense. Besides Enzo, who's got the best character on 205 Live?
Nobody. Gabba Gulak.
Yeah. And who's next after that?
Character? Nobody. None. There's not even anybody next to him.
I don't know. Yeah.
But
yeah,
I think you brought fucking Kenta in to recharge the division, if possibly anything, and just kick the shit out of fucking Enzo.
No, but if he's it's weird because watching Hideo on Raw and on 205, it feels like they still don't know what to do with him. He's getting face reactions because he's the fresh face from NXT, but he's still carrying over that NXT attitude that respect me, all that stuff.
Yeah.
So what a better way to get Hideo over as a heel by beating up the little engine that could Drew Gulak after winning the title.
Okay.
That'll solidify Hideo as a heel.
I'm for that.
Robert says, I'm sure it'll be Enzo versus Hideo instead. And it's interesting because what you just said, where they don't really know what to do with him as far as he's a heel or a face, he showed up last night on 205 as a face because, you know, he wound up actually legitimately injuring Brian Kendrick. So
he gone 2 months.
Out comes Jack Gallagher cutting this promo like, you beat up my friend, I'm going to take you down, but like was being a douche about it. So it was obvious that Gallagher was the heel, and out comes Hideo, who's also supposed to be a heel, but he gets cheered.
Was he doing the same heel stuff from 205 before he left?
No.
The screaming, the respect me.
No. He came out and did like a pose like when he was a babyface on NXT beforehand. So it was fucking strange.
When
so, like,
did he do the respect me thing?
That was 2 weeks ago on 205. But here's the clincher. The clincher is he went into the ring before the bell rang. Gallagher just got on him and tried to hit him with the umbrella. You know, Hideo got the upper hand and wound up being in the corner. He tried to do a running knee or something, and he got intercepted with the umbrella. And then Hideo just starts selling like crazy. Like, what the fuck just happened? Apparently, the umbrella was loaded with a lead pipe. So Jack Gallagher is beating the shit out of Hideo with a lead pipe. That tells me Hideo's the fucking babyface.
I hate 205 Live. That's so stupid. Like, that's such a stupid thing to say.
Well, I mean, he had a lead pipe stuck in the umbrella. You know, that's
stupid. That's fucking retarded.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't think it's that stupid, but it's just confusing. Like, this Hideo's starting to get into Big Show territory as far as like heel and face flip flop over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But the one highlight, and this I promise is going to be the last thing from 205 that I really want to bring up from 205, is that there was another pretty good darn match. I might want to say a match of the week candidate between Akira Tozawa and a returning TJP.
Akira Tozawa's still around?
Yeah, Akira Tozawa's still around, and TJP and him, damn, they had a good fucking match. Yeah,
that just furthers my point. It's such a shame that we're getting these good matches on shows that people aren't watching.
Yeah.
Put them on Raw. They'll watch. They have no choice. They have 3 hours.
They have no choice. That's the best rebuttal I've heard this entire conversation.
Yeah.
Dude, give me TJP versus Hideo for number one contender.
On Raw.
I'll be cool with that, too.
On Raw. I'll watch it.
Yeah, but TJP looked great. He's really, really working that heel character where he was just...
So he's cocky. Still a dick.
He's still a dick, and
he's still dabbing?
He dabbed at the end of the match, not at the beginning, but that made you not like him even more.
Yeah, yeah.
So when he was trying to do that tweener thing with him and Rich Swann where they were just trying to one-up each other, like, that's gone. Like, he just went out there, and he was like, I'm overconfident. I'm going to beat this guy. I beat this guy. Guess what? You know, and then that was it. So, yeah, I'm cool with him having another meaningful, prominent run. That's all I'm going to say about 205.
You sure?
I'm sure. I'm done. Okay. I'm done with 205.
Apparently, people didn't get the message last week, so we're going to try it again. No one's ready for Asuka.
No one.
Nobody is ready for Asuka.
Not even the actual champion.
That match was really good. Another match elite candidate for me as well.
Yep.
The beginning of the match where Alexa was just running away, running scared, running shitless the entire time. I thought that was really interesting that the champ, who's supposed to be the heel, really fucking worked it up and put over Asuka so well. It made Asuka look like somebody to be feared. But then I was kind of thinking, man, maybe they're going to lay this on a little bit too thick. They go to commercial break. When they come back from commercial break, the change happened where Alexa went from being scared to being pissed off.
Yeah.
And when she was pissed off, that's when she overcame her fear and tried to actually wrestle with Asuka. Of course, she's not ready for Asuka, but she tried to be. When she ran to the corner, stopped. I just slapped the fuck out of Asuka.
I was like, are you fucking serious?
Like, you don't do that to Asuka. No. And she paid for it. Yeah, and it was great. It was great.
Yeah, it was a really, really damn good match. The beginning had me already pissed off because it was just the usual WWE cowardly heel. Mm-hmm. I was like, come on. Came back from commercials. I'm like, there we go. Match actually started for me. From then on,
okay.
And after that, it was the matches just got better and better and better, and the ending was good. And number one contender, but she's in the Rumble.
Yeah. I think that I would be sitting here bitching about the stupid ass cookie cutter booking if it wasn't like super explicit that Kurt Angle was like, I'm doing this to get a good ratings boost. This will be a good match.
Yeah.
And Alexa was like, no, you're stupid. And I was like, siding with Alexa. But then when Kurt was like, hey, I just want a good match. And I know you two put a good match. Yeah. And nobody's ready for Asuka. So fuck you. Go away.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, all right. There's enough storyline.
Her wanting Nia to back her up with Nia going to take
soup to Enzo.
Which looked like watered down macaroni. It looked disgusting.
Yeah, it was weird. It didn't look good.
So she chose Enzo over her.
Yeah, she did.
So there goes that.
Yeah.
Dude, this Royal Rumble is shaping up to be pretty damn good. The girl, not 20 girls, not nothing like that. The only bad part of it is that I think they're going to do that I'm not going to like. They're going to stick it at the beginning of the show.
They have to.
And that sucks. That
they have to, dude. You're going to have 2 hours.
At least I can watch 7 Royal Rumbles in a row, dude. I don't get tired. I don't get tired. Royal Rumble is my favorite fucking thing in wrestling. My favorite thing in wrestling is the Royal Rumble match.
I agree with you. You know why? Because there's only one every year. So not only is there going to be 2 every year, you're going to give me one after the other? I can eat pizza for so long because I love it, but eventually I will get sick.
True.
So like, reviews where they have Hell in a Cell, TLC, Elimination Chamber, Bukkake. They separate them. There's one in the beginning. If there's another one, there's one in the middle, and then your main event.
Yeah.
And trust me, all for the women's movement, there's no fucking way in hell they're ending this shit with the women. Even if it's Ronda Rousey, they are not ending it with the women. So what better way than, let's do history all over again.
Stick it in the middle. Don't put it in the beginning. Do not. That's what you did with the women, right? With the Money in the Bank, isn't it?
Was it the opening match?
Maybe they had like the Usos first, but yeah. Okay,
it was the middle because it's a 3-hour pay-per-view. So technically,
this is a 4-hour pay-per-view though. It's a Rumble.
At least.
Yeah,
it'll be longer.
Like 6 hours.
Dude, if it's 4 hours,
stick it in the middle.
Well, I was gonna say, why not? I'm not talking about placement. It's 4 hours. We got enough time. We got enough room. I'm not going to bitch about like eating 2 pizzas in one night when I only eat pizza once a year. I'm going to be okay with it.
Yeah, I'm okay with them back to back, but I'm also okay with them in the middle. I do not want to see them open the paper with the Royal Rumble.
Now, I know that, Chris, you just kind of dismissed it, but what if they do put this on last?
Fuck no.
No?
Fuck no.
They're making history.
Unless there's something huge that happens, then it's a mistake. But what's
huge? Having a UFC girl that lost her last three matches?
I don't want Ronda Rousey in the WWE. I am the first person to say that. I think she does not, much like CM Punk did not deserve a debut in the UFC, she does not deserve to debut in the WWE.
Who is a winner of the Women's Royal Rumble that you feel justified should end the entire fucking pay-per-view?
If they ended it with the women?
Yeah.
Asuka eliminating 29 girls.
Asuka coming in at number 1.
Yes.
Or 2.
That will justify, whatever. That will justify them being it being last. Her being the Shawn Michaels, the Rey Mysterio from beginning to end, winning, that will make it okay to be the last match. But as far as anything else, I can't think of a fucking – because, dude, you unless they're going to go full board and have the main event of Mania be a women's match.
I would rather watch that than fucking Lesnar Roman. Exactly. But even that's I'm not going to
Exactly. That's not gonna it's not no. there. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. And the WWE is known for doing stuff before it's supposed to happen. So, by God, it could probably work.
Okay.
Have Asuka win it and have Asuka versus Charlotte close WrestleMania. I will not complain about
it. The only chance that I think WWE ever honestly had to end a WrestleMania with the women, WrestleMania 20, Lita versus Trish.
Okay.
That's the only time. The thing is, because you had so many title belts. You had so many title belts. Yeah. And Triple Threat, you had freaking Michaels, Triple H, and Benoit.
Yeah.
Which, for the most part, people already knew Benoit was winning it. And, you know.
Yeah.
And it's Jericho, Eddie Guerrero, Kurt Angle. But Trish and Lita could have superseded all that. And in Madison Square Garden, that could have been over as Rover. Now there's too much male talent. And they're still in the middle of the revolution. They haven't established a roster of a decent roster full of women enough to justify having one of them go over. There's not one woman. Trish Stratus can come back and win the Rumble. I still don't think that's worthy of putting it last. It's not, dude.
Okay.
And the problem with the having Rumbles back to back is the same issue that I had with TNA Lockdown. It felt like we're watching 1 3-hour long cage match. So when you put the Rumbles back to back, you're going to feel like you're going to be watching a 2.5 hour worth of a Royal Rumble match. Halfway through the men, you're going to get tired of it.
So then would it be that bad if they opened the show?
Yes.
Ladies, if the women opened the show?
Ladies first. how much harder does that have to be?
I mean, to argue this, it's not necessarily a dishonor to open the show. Especially nowadays.
No, it's not.
You know, it's like, oh, you got to have the hot open and, you know, you're going to put on your wild
my
match.
First example right now was, if I'm not mistaken, John Cena versus AJ Styles starting off a pay-per-view when there was a debate going on last year.
Okay.
You can start off a badass fucking pay-per-view with a badass main event style match.
I remember back when TNA was fucking amazing. Every pay-per-view started with the X Division title.
Yep.
X Division title to make, well, holy shit, this is amazing.
Yep, just like Mania used to start with the Money in the Bank for a while.
Yeah. So if they start Rumble with the women's Rumble match,
as of right now, neither woman from Raw or SmackDown are defending their titles.
Yeah.
If either one of them were defending a belt, I would literally dedicate the first hour and a half to the women. Like, I would have a woman's title match. And then have them both champions at ringside while the women's Royal Rumble match happened.
Oh, listen. That's when you have Alexa cost fucking Asuka the win, and then somebody else wins and is going to fight Charlotte. But that sets up Asuka versus Alexa at Mania. Oh. Alexa jumps in and just tosses Asuka over when she's like in the final four and everybody thinks she's about to win.
She's tossing Asuka over. She's lowering the rope.
Lowering the rope. Yeah. Lowering the rope. All right.
Nobody's tossing Asuka.
What about this week's Woken Warriors segment?
Well, Porsche says you got to have a Rumble sandwich. Apparently,
you got it. I guess so.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the worst fucking part, dude.
What?
Now every goddamn motherfucker on the wrestling roster is going to be doing this.
Oh, yeah. But that's every year.
That's every year.
Yeah, but that's only just the men.
Now the women.
Oh yeah, everybody's gonna be. No, but I mean, no, even then, the women would point if like, "Oh, playing, I'm fighting somebody." Yeah, you know.
Huh?
This is gonna be the first year with no winner. We'll get the.
Oh, because no pyro.
No pyro.
Oh, they'll have it.
No
pyro for Mania. At least, come on.
Pyro Mania. No, they're not gonna.
The sign for the Royal Rumble. They will.
I hope so, because if you don't give me pyro and Mania. What the fuck, man? I'm already pissed that there's no pyro.
Yeah.
So, Woken Warriors.
Okay. I like the fact that Bray had a match. And I was excited for the Bray match because I was thinking, this means we're going to see Matt Hardy in the flesh out in the arena. Maybe costing him the match, or maybe after the match is over, kind of jumping him or doing some sort of mind games. No, we had Matt show up on the fucking screen again and just cutting another promo with the sheet behind
him. We had him in the ring last week.
Okay.
And what did he do?
Beat the shit out of Bray.
What did he say?
Delete.
Nothing. He just went, ah. That's all he did. Like, the, like, I'm sorry, guys. The reason it got over in TNA was because there weren't that many backstage segments. There were segments pre-taped in the compound. He was already off on his own.
Yeah.
This we're gonna have this problem. We're gonna get to this point where it feels less like Matt Hardy and more like WWE pretending to be broken. And you know, they went a step in the right direction, Matt playing chess with Napoleon.
Yeah.
You know, but now it's like, okay, what? And you're you've been pushing this for, what, 4 weeks already? You're going to push it 4 more weeks until the Rumble?
That's what I'm saying. They have to. They have to. They're not going to pay this off before the Rumble.
I want Matt Hardy to be doing commentary during one of Bray's matches, and when they come back from commercial and Hardy is there, somebody rolls fucking Napoleon next to Matt, and Matt's having a conversation with Napoleon while he's having a conversation with Corey Graves. I want him to talk to the goddamn fish and have the fish of the bowl right next to him, next to the commentator's table.
This is so fucking stupid. But I still like it.
But that's what you need. You need this avant-garde, off-the-wall, not the same cookie-cutter, copy-and-paste bullshit. You need weird-ass, innovative stuff for the Matt Hardy thing to work.
Fuck you, man. Apollo Crews had a pretty decent match on Raw this week.
Yes, okay, please.
I want to say that. He had a pretty good match. They put on a good match.
What do you think about Dana as
a I think a lot secretary? About Dana right now.
She wasn't a secretary. The statistician.
I think a lot about Dana right now. Okay. This is the best she's done.
Emphasis on tition.
Yeah. This works for her. She can wrestle eventually with this character too, but this works for her. A la Terry Runnels' original character.
Alexander York.
There you go.
Alexander York?
Alexander York. WCW. WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or Miss Tesswalker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rather than
Stacy Keibler.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. But yeah, that style will work, and you can transition with that. Mm-hmm. And it's a good look. And yeah, Apollo still didn't win, and he said he's gonna come out and do this and that. Same old shit. He looked good in the ring. He made Bray look good.
I've wanted to say this for a long time. That I'm really, really excited for what Titus Worldwide is doing. And it seems like every time he gets a little bit of steam, a few steps forward, he takes a few steps back. You don't see him for a few weeks.
Vince remembers that he grabbed him.
Every couple months, it's like,
takes, lateral, whatever it takes.
He takes his ginkgo biloba. Yeah. He remembers. But I want to see some more of this stuff with this interesting stable that's never really gotten up off the ground yet.
Yeah. He takes Apollo under his wing and makes Apollo interesting. He brings charisma out of Apollo. Mm-hmm. He brought in Akira Tozawa, and he was the most liked in Tozawa's career right now.
Anymore.
And now you got Dana Brooke. I think Titus is doing a good job of trying to get something out of Dana that we normally wouldn't see if it was just her doing what she does. I'm optimistic. I just hope they do something with it because I mean, what are they gonna just? Is he gonna get Curt Hawkins next because they're all losers? I mean, what
Curt Hawkins? Are they gonna? He has his own shirt.
He does
the streak thing.
Oh God!
But it's like it starts zero, then it's one all of his losses.
Oh Lord!
That's it for Raw, man.
Robert says Apollo always shows that he needs to be booked better.
I agree. Yeah.
Tag team title matches. What'd you think of?
I was segments? Like, what the fuck just happened? Did that? Wow, that's kind of random. That's early. Oh, what the fuck? Hey, what's going on? Shenanigans. That was my reaction to what happened. And I'm okay with it. I don't know. Like, I'm not.
I don't. Okay, but.
Yeah, I was like, I'm all right. Like, I don't love it. I don't hate it. I'm just like, all right, fuck it.
It's there.
But all in all, if you subtract that, that was a damn good match. Which is.
Can you give me a little reminder as to what exactly how that went down.
One of the Usos didn't tag, so the guy that got beat up was still the legal man.
Okay,
or something like that.
Yeah, both people that were involved in the finish, neither one of them was the legal man. Was the legal man?
Okay, yeah, you're right. Okay,
and they came back and then bam, the fucking super kick party.
I remember now that you got me there. I remember thinking that I was very excited for Gable and Benjamin.
Yeah, I was like, whoa, hey,
that's a good test. That crowd actually was over for that.
Yeah.
I don't think so, because they were really over for restarting the match.
That's true, too. I mean, they were like, oh, holy shit, all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but then they're
like, yeah, Trump won off.
Yeah. We're sheep. The WWE crowds are sheep.
Especially in Orlando.
I can say it and be like, no, this is stupid, but when I'm there, I've been right there along saying it, too.
Yeah.
It's fun. You're there. Yeah.
I don't know if – I think they may have opened up a big old can of worms with the whole, hold on, there's a replay. Because, like,
yeah, man,
for the longest time when the NFL and the MLB and now the NBA are, like, doing replays, it was like, oh, well, how long until WWE? And then WWE for the longest time was like, it's going to kind of kill kayfabe, let's not do it.
Yeah.
But
now when SmackDown Live – first came on, they had some issues like that, but Daniel Bryan, I remember him saying, it plays out how the original,
and we don't have instant replay. The past and the recent past was, hey, you know, which one of the women was it? Was it Carmella? No, it was Lana. Lana was like,
he was
hey,
told he was episodes about it.
Yeah, look, my shoulder was up, and you could clearly see, and was tweeting about it or whatever. Yeah. And, like, it took, like, a week of politicking to have the thing not overturned, but, like, all right, let's give you another shot.
Yeah.
But this was the first time it was a straight-up overturn. It should be stricken from the record. This match restarts, and it was called by a ref, not a GM, not a commissioner, nothing like that. It was like the ref said, hey, no, ref number one, you fucked up. Look at the replay. Okay, I reverse my decision. So it's a little bit different.
It just takes 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. Next week, Gable and Benjamin are in the ring, and they cite that example and say, hey, the referee's word is final. We should have played that way. We should be champs.
Yeah.
And then Brian or Shane come on and say, all right, Royal Rumble, 2 out of 3 falls.
Or 2 referees.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of feel as though – this might be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because if they get into that territory.
We're not talking about the good match. We're talking about the bullshit that happened.
I know we're talking about the bullshit that happened.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's a bad thing.
Oh, okay. Well, what I was going to say is that if you take away the element of having dusty and screwy finishes, then, oh, man, that's going to hamstring a lot of storytelling that you can use to get heels over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So that's all I'm saying.
My match of the week pick. Xavier Woods against Aiden English.
Okay.
How fucking fun was that?
Good fucking match, dude. Yes.
Okay.
And they both look good. And Aiden English, although I don't like that he got pinned, kind of kicking the momentum a little bit of him and Rusev with doing that. Because the New Day doesn't need this. Mm-hmm. But, dude, that match was good.
How'd you like Rusev singing?
Oh, Rusev singing was the best. On Rusev Day of
On days. Rusev. Happy Rusev
Day. Happy Rusev
Day. Dude, we're obviously building to Bobby Roode versus Jinder Mahal at the Royal Rumble, which I'm going to fucking love. I told y'all this. Jinder Mahal with the U.S. title. Give it to me.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, like Rusev with the U.S. title 3 years ago. The foreigner gimmick is always going to be.
But if the crowd's reacting the way they are, why not give us a babyface Rusev versus Jinder for the U.S. title at Mania?
Fuck yes. I'm on board with that. All the way on board.
He's the number one merch seller right now.
What do you think? I was hoping they'd give him and Aiden English a tag team title before or something.
Maybe.
But now, dude, now we have an influx. We have an opposite problem. Sorry, I had a burp. From SmackDown and Raw. Dude, Raw's tag team champions are Seth Rollins and Jason Jordan, and not even tag team.
Uh-huh.
Their tag team before the bar wasn't a tag team until they were the champions.
Uh-huh.
That's it. That's all I was thinking. I can even think of. They're on Raw. SmackDown has them all.
Hey, wait a second. What the fuck happened to the Revival? Didn't they come back like 2 weeks ago? Where are they?
Oh, they said yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, they said yeah, and then they left. I think one of them tore their bicep again.
Are you serious?
No, I'm not. Yeah, SmackDown, all of a motherfucking sudden, has the Usos, the New Day, Rusev and Aiden English, the Bludgeon Brothers, Breezango, the Ascension. Dude! They have all the tag teams.
This is the first time that we actually heard the Ascension's entrance music live in the arena for a long time.
Yeah, sick ass music. I mean, they got their ass a little bit.
Yeah. The Twitter back and forth is awesome. Porsche, who's Twitter back and forth? They had
campaign. commercials for each other.
Yeah, I heard that he was like Donald Trumping it almost. He's going that way. But I haven't seen it.
He was stealing Gulak's
stick then. But no, that match was fucking solid, dude. It was. I love when Xavier does that fucking step to the rope thing.
Oh, yeah. That springboard dive thing. Yeah.
Careful what you ask for.
Why?
AJ got himself a handicap match for the Rumble.
Okay.
He didn't look like he was serious.
This stirs the pot so much, dude, because you're still like, okay, who's the face? Who's the heel? What's going on here?
Who's
going to
turn on who?
Exactly, because they're both on each other, but it's benefiting KO and Sammy.
Yeah. All the stuff that Daniel Bryan does as a decision benefits Sammy and KO. You're right. But does that mean Bryan's going to be the one that ultimately turn? I don't know. I mean, AJ is pretty fed up with all this stuff too. So is there going to be more friction between AJ and Shane? I mean, hell, they had that match last year too. So there's not exactly, you know, they're not exactly the best of friends. So they're, like you said, there's so much pot stirring. I kind of like it, but I'm kind of like, yeah, you're cautious. I'm cautious.
Right now is not the time to turn AJ heel.
No.
Right?
But at the same time, how is this going to, like, I'm already bummed because, you know, this is going to be the first Royal Rumble in the wild where we're not going to have a good heavyweight title match. You got the triple threat on Raw that I don't want to see. And then now with this handicap match, it's like, well, I guess.
So what's going to happen in a handicap match? Whoever gets the pin between Sammy and KO, they
win. Jericho did that.
Is it two
year.
On one? Is it two on one? One guy's on the apron, or is it all three of them in the ring? Because if it's all three of them in the ring, I mean,
handicap matches normally are one standing on the apron and they could tag in and out. But I don't know. They could do a tornado rules where both of them are in there whipping AJ's ass.
That has to mean at one point Sami Zayn's getting pop-up powerbombed because KO is not going to let Sami just take the fucking belt.
Or is Sami smart enough to actually be a step ahead and actually kill KO?
Or is it going to be kind of like the opposite effect where it's like,
champion.
No, where KO's like, please, please go ahead and pin him. Take your, and
it's your turn.
No, after
it's
you. No, after that, you.
He did that with Jericho, the U.S. title.
Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of hinky.
It's weird.
What?
It's hinky. It's good, but weird. I still fucking, you know, aluminum foil antennas. Thinking, I think we're gonna see D-Bar wrestle at WrestleMania this year, man.
And dude, I am so apprehensive about that because
as long as it's not Shane McMahon, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about it because I mean, one, I don't really know where the truth lies with the state of his neck because he says he has doctors that say that he's okay. WWE doctors say he's not okay. So it's like, what's really going on with the dude's neck? I don't want him to hurt himself.
Are listening to what the lawsuit is telling them to say.
Okay.
They're not stupid.
Okay.
Except for that one Dr. Amon or whatever the fuck his name is. Oh yeah, stupid.
So if they're erring on the side of caution. Don't sue me, guy. If they're erring on the side of caution, and let's say D-Bar does go in there and takes a bad bump, and you know what, what they're hoping against actually happens, then we all fucking lose because I don't want to lose D-Bar.
I don't like taking too much stock into things outside of like Raw or SmackDown.
Okay.
But I went on a total Divas binge watch this weekend because it was on, and I watched it, and I enjoy it. Two things have been very... Three things, really, in the past two seasons have been a real big focus point. D-Bar wants to come back. The Bellas are saying they're coming back.
Okay.
And D-Bar took a bump, like, twice on the episode whenever he was training with Bree.
Okay.
Kevin Dunn produces these episodes.
Okay.
He's coming back to wrestle, I think.
Okay.
They see the popularity that this is doing. They don't want to lose their biggest fucking thing since Stone Cold, I think, as far as fan-wise, to Japan.
And then have D-Bar become the new member of the Bullet
Club?
Yeah,
you don't want that. I want that because that would be fucking cool. But for like 2 weeks, Daniel Bryan, I don't want him in the Bullet Club. I want to see like, cool, yeah, he's like, friends with the Bullet Club, you know, or wrestling against them or whatever, something like that. I want that'd be cool to see them in the same like thing. I want Daniel Bryan to wrestle.
If there's anybody that I want to see kill Daniel Bryan figuratively and literally, it would be Kenny Omega in Japan.
Fuck yeah, but
that's his last.
But match. That would literally kill him.
Yes, yeah.
And I don't want I don't want him to be dead.
Daniel Bryan shouldn't. Daniel
Bryan, who are you to choose?
Well, I choose for him to not die.
Yeah, but who are you to choose?
Okay.
Die doing what you love instead of live doing nothing.
All right.
I'll tell you this much. Your thought process, I can guarantee, just by the things he said and the things that his wife has said, that thought process, although he said that he wants to come back and wrestle, albeit for whatever, he says himself, if I'm not clear, if I'm not 100%, I will not wrestle. Okay. Why? He has a daughter now.
Yes.
He's not going to do that for himself anymore.
Okay.
So he's being very patient with the whole with the WWE, I think, and doing his tests and being medical while also getting his outside tests, where he's like back to what is it, like a college football player's brain at this point or whatever.
Okay.
He wants to get to the point where, you know,
he's calm right now because he knows he has a place whenever he's ready.
Oh yeah.
Even just because WWE's doctors are telling him that he's not 100% doesn't mean he's taking his word. Otherwise, he wouldn't be shopping his brain around to every motherfucker that's listening.
Yeah.
So whenever Daniel Bryan feels like he's ready, he's got a platform wherever he wants. And if it's not with WWE, guess who's not going to give a fuck? Daniel Bryan. Because he's going to wrestle in the Ring of Honor. He's going to wrestle in New Japan. Yeah. If TNA wins the lottery and gets a bunch of money, fuck, he'll wrestle for TNA. Wherever we'll let him wrestle, he'll go.
Yeah.
He'll come in DCW maybe. We can't afford him.
No. That's it for SmackDown.
Yep.
Yay.
That's everything. Except. Preview. Wrestle Kingdom 12.
I know that's one match going on.
That's happening in 5 hours.
5 hours.
5 hours.
Let's run this down real quick. There's a New Japan Rumble that's a tradition every year. That's their pre-show.
Is it a Battle Royal?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like everyone's already in at the same time?
Yeah. The mid-card and entry level. We have a IWGP Junior Tag Team match. I do not know the name of this team, but it's Yo and Sho. Teaming up against the Young Bucks.
Yo and Sho.
Yeah.
All right.
We have a 6-man tag team championship gauntlet. Tama Tonga, Tama Lao, Balak Fale from Bullet Club against Ryusuke Taguchi, Juice Robinson, and Toji Makabe. And then Beretta, Toriyano, and Tomohiro Ishii, the guy that bites the rope. And then Hanson, Raymond Rowe, and Michael Elgin as a 3-man team.
That's a lot of beef.
That is.
And then Taichi, Takahashi, Zuka, and Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh,
so there's five teams that are going to be in this Never Gauntlet for the six-man tag.
Five three-man teams.
Yeah.
Wow.
This could be a show stealer.
That's 15 people.
This could be a show stealer.
Or a
special attraction match. Cody Rhodes.
Right.
Against Kota Ibushi.
Ooh. Where the fuck did where have I been? I know he was gonna be at Wrestle Kingdom. I didn't know who he was gonna wrestle. Has it been announced this whole time? Like they've been talking about it?
Yeah.
I'd not heard about that. That's gonna be a good match.
Yeah. Ibushi's really entertaining. Yeah.
Champs Davey Boy Smith and Lance Archer defend against Sonata and Evil.
Wait,
did you say Davey Boy Smith?
Yeah, Davey Boy Smith Jr.
Oh,
Jr. Wait, what championship is that?
IWGP Tag Team Champions.
Okay. Heavyweight Tag Team Champions?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I was going to ask. What the fuck? They have a junior heavyweight
tag? They have a junior tag and a heavyweight tag. Yeah.
Hair versus hair match for the Never Openweight Championship, and there's nobody allowed at ringside.
The Never Openweight? What is that?
Hiroki. Mean? Well, you're going to know when that time I tell you this. Hiroki Goto, the challenger, the champion, Minoru Suzuki.
Oh, boy.
Does that define the never open weight?
What the fuck?
You could be any size. No weight limits.
It's hair versus hair?
Yeah.
Suzuki got no fucking hair.
In the back? That Dragon Ball Z Super Saiyan?
Yeah, I guess so. He looks like, what is the characters from Tekken?
Hihachi.
That's what he looks like.
Fatal 4-way match for the junior heavyweight title. Kushida. Hiromu Takahashi.
Okay.
Will Ospreay,
ooh,
and the champ, Bullet Club, Marty Scurll.
Ooh, that's going to be that's a good match. The is it Tornado Rules?
Yeah.
Okay, four-way, yeah.
Intercontinental title. Hiroshi Tanahashi defends against Jay White.
I don't know who Jay White is.
You'll learn when you see it.
Oh.
Jay Lethal and Tyler Black's kid. But he's white.
Co-main event. Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega. Ooh. No DQ for the U.S. title. Whoa. This is not a special attraction.
Whoa.
This is
for the title. That's for the title?
For the U.S. title. Bet if Jericho wins this match, the next day, that's when they announce the tickets going on sale. I've been waiting every day for the last month and a half on NWGP1972.com to find. Yeah, I'm going to have your WrestleMania. I'm going to New Japan. And as soon as Jericho wins it, bet that's when they're going to announce the date.
Okay.
And then the main event, Tetsuya Naito versus Tetsuya Naito against Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. After everything I just said, because you guys haven't been keeping up with it. I haven't at all.
I've been trying.
It's 5 hours away.
Yeah.
Assuming you could watch it in 5 hours without any repercussion, what would your anticipation level be for this entire show?
Man, that is such a hard question for me to answer because I have almost zero context except for like the main events and like some of the names that you mentioned off in the undercard.
And matches from previous Wrestle Kingdoms that you've seen.
Right. I mean, I don't want to put that in there because I want to put those separately. My train of thought there was going to be, aside from the two main matches and then some of the stuff on the undercard, but not all of it, is that I don't know the context of any of it. So I would normally say, oh, no, that would lower my anticipation level. But this is where the other part comes into it. The fact that it's New Japan and all their matches top to bottom, no matter what the card is, usually is fucking badass. And you put on the fact that the bright lights are on, pressure's on, they're going to have their biggest show of the year. You know everything is going to be good and you don't necessarily have to know exactly what the hell's going on. So my anticipation level will be at a 10 just off of name value of it being Wrestle Kingdom alone. I don't know anything else that's going on that card, but just the name value alone makes it jump up. Now that just might be a bias just from the fact that I know that the wrestling's going to be good, but yeah, I mean, I really, really want to see it.
This makes me wish that I was off tomorrow because I could just wake up and watch it.
Yes.
You know,
wake up 2 o'clock in the morning, go to sleep at fucking.
No, not even seven. Not even. I got a kid. I ain't going to fucking. I ain't be up at 2 in the fucking morning. I got to enjoy every single second of sleep I can get.
Okay.
But
if Penny happens to be awake at 2 o'clock in the morning,
how was it that you did it last time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just fucking nudge her and maybe wake her up at 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
Wah. There you go. Yeah. Come on,
baby. Let's go to the living room. Yeah. No. Just that I didn't even know. I got, like, before we started the show, I was saying, I'm like, I don't even know and I don't care about any other match besides Alpha and Omega.
However,
hearing that card, there is something in every match that intrigues me. Every single match you listed out, there was at least one thing that I was like, eh? What was that? Ooh.
Yeah.
So 10 matches, 10 fingers.
Okay.
10. I can't wait to watch this. Whether it be after you watch it, and I wake up in the morning and watch it on the app, or Wrestling Rising posting it up on Facebook with the Japanese commentary. I prefer to watch it in English because I'm American.
I'm gonna try the damnedest I can to avoid spoilers until Saturday. Oh.
No, but if you get on Facebook at all, you're fucked.
I know that's going to be difficult.
I know for sure it's going to be impossible for me.
Yeah, it's going to be.
Oh, trust me, I'm going to be the one doing it.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Chris.
You're going to block him in the chat. Yeah, it's going to, whatever, man. Honestly, all these matches, though, I can know the outcome.
And I still know,
I would still want to watch the match.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I watched the Kenny Omega Okada 2, knowing what happened,
right?
I watched the whole damn match. And after 1-2, with dumbass, I know they don't win. None of them wins. But I will still, if it's a good wrestling match, You don't need storylines. You don't need anything. You just need to sit your ass down and watch wrestling. I grew up watching AAA, CMLL. They don't give a fuck about storylines. You just fucking put on a badass show.
Well, you can. Yeah.
But you're not a Ring of Honor fan.
I don't. No. I don't have the exposure to a Ring of Honor to be a Ring of Honor fan. I like the matches that I've seen on YouTube. I like the matches that I've seen on CM Punk documentary.
To say that New Japan doesn't have a storyline would be misleading.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying I don't need a storyline
to
enjoy New Japan matches.
Part of the reason
I don't need a storyline to enjoy AAA matches, I don't need a storyline to watch Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns go at it for a fucking hour.
I need storyline. That's just me. But New Japan has it. New Japan has storyline. You just got to fucking follow it.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's in English.
They do have English.
Yeah. I'm just saying that's why I love New Japan. That's why I fell in love with it this year, because of that. I don't even need to speak the goddamn language to enjoy a fucking 7-star Meltzer match.
Ryan.
Robert Midland in the live chat. I'm at a 10. I'm watching it on AXS and staying off of Facebook.
Good fucking luck. I will message you.
When
does it? I will message you.
When is it
Saturday,
show?
Right?
Saturday.
On Saturday on AXS?
Saturday, okay.
Right. I am at a cautious 11.
Oh,
there's nothing cautious about being at 11.
No, you know why? You know why?
Dick.
You know why? You guys are going to fail miserably at staying away from Facebook.
Oh, yeah, I can.
Imagine how many people are going to be pissed if Omega Jericho doesn't deliver. Because basically, 90% of wrestling fans are watching this only for this match. Yeah. I bet if this was on television, the ratings would nosedive. Off of Ruby Riott's nose after that match is over, waiting for Naito versus Okada. Because this is what everybody's watching.
Yes.
And if that match is a stinker, dude, this could be – people are going to call it the worst Wrestle Kingdom, because that's all they have knowledge to is this one and a couple of ones before it. I'm invested in a lot of the guys on this roster.
The match, Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit. He cannot fail tomorrow. Like, he will not fail tomorrow. I'm confident, but not.
You mean tonight in Japan?
Yeah, tonight. I'm confident that they won't fail, but I'm 80% of it on Kenny Omega. Jericho, just ride the wave.
Actually, since he's the heel, he's the one leading.
I get it. But I'm just talking about, like, the match.
If Kenny sells his ass off for Jericho, it'll work.
Yeah.
Which he could do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this match. I'm just excited for Wrestle Kingdom in general. Like, those matches, I can't wait to watch these matches. Dude, just be.
Have you ever watched a Wrestle Kingdom top to bottom?
No.
Okay.
I watched
the AXS special is not going to be from top to bottom either.
No.
Yeah, it's going to be edited.
3 hours, so it's only going to have maybe two matches.
Yeah. No, that's why I'm glad I have the ability now to watch the New Japan matches.
New Japan World.
On my phone still. I don't know how to work it with the TV. I tried casting it, and it didn't work. I have a Samsung TV and phone.
Oh, well, yeah, there you go.
But, that's the show.
Oh, man. How are we going to are we going to do
time really went this slow? We've barely done an hour.
How are we going to do the coverage for Wrestle Kingdom? Are we going to do a special episode, or are you going to do something separate? Are we just going to cover it like normal on Wednesday night, or
That's a good question.
This should have been something we discussed before we went live on the air.
Well, that would have helped if we would all watch it together. Yeah. You're not watching it with us. I'm not watching it with you. Yeah. I'm not waiting for either one of y'all motherfuckers.
No.
So, but there's not going to be a time for us to get together during the week. So
stupid work.
Yeah.
Fucking work. I'm just going to quit my job.
So, yeah. Next week will be heavy on the New Japan stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's hope for shitty Raw and SmackDowns next week.
You mean normal Raw and SmackDowns.
Yes. Because we were done with them in less than an hour.
Yeah.
All right.
That's it, man. I need to go get some sleep.
Adios, my friends.
Be safe, be easy.
Keep it classy.